Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Joining me today is Yavor Yorgiev. Now, Yavor, you're on the Silverlight team, right?
Yep. Well, the WCF team. It's the team that delivers WCF in .NET and in Silverlight.
So you're not doing all the audio and video and cool stuff like that?
No, that's not our team.
You're dealing with data paths and getting data back and forth between servers. That's so boring. You should get on an exciting team, right?
No, web services are very exciting. I mean, Web 2.0, that's what it's all about, right?
So if I'm a developer out there, perhaps using Silverlight, why should I be concerned about WCF?
That's a great question. So WCF is kind of is a technology that you'd use in .NET to build web services and in Silverlight to access these web services. So if you need a way to get data into a Silverlight application, maybe get data out of a database and show it in a grid in the UI, you'd probably be using Silverlight to build WCF to build the service and then use it in the client.
So if I'm writing like a stock ticker application, I'd be actually making calls into WCF to get access to some third-party stock sites to get that data?
Yeah, any kind of data. You write a service operation that accesses whatever data you need, and then we send it on the wire for you, and we deserialize it for you in the Silverlight client, and then you can bind it to UI if you'd like or do anything with it.
Why wouldn't I just make an HTTP GET call and get the data like that?
Because that's one of the beauty of web services is that we give you a lot of nice tooling around it. So, for example, if you define a type in your service, right, so maybe you have a purchase order type or a customer type, we'll actually be able to generate that type for you on the client and give you this nice experience where you'll just, for you, it'll look completely seamless, like the type's just being transferred across the wire. And, you know, if you're doing it with HTTP request, you'd have to send the request, get a bunch of XML, and then figure out what to do with it. So we give you serialization, which is something that people like to use. It makes your life as a developer a lot easier.
So you're essentially maintaining speaking the exact same language throughout your application rather than switching from a procedural model to an eventing model to a, gee, let's crank out XML and start ripping into this data and figure out what's going on inside of it.
Exactly. It's a clean object model. It lets people just worry about the types and the methods, or we call them the service contracts, and the data contracts that they share, and not really worry as much about what's actually happening under the covers.
Mm-hmm. Now, your main focus right now, obviously, is trying to get this technology fully embedded into Silverlight 3. What was going on in Silverlight 2? Could you still be using WCF in Silverlight 2?
Yeah, so Silverlight 2 is the first Silverlight release that was based on the .NET CLR, or I guess I should say a minimal version of the .NET CLR. One of the key tenets of Silverlight is to keep the runtime very compact. I think it's like a 4 or 5 megabyte download. And so Silverlight 2 had WCF support, but it was kind of a core set of WCF scenarios, just kind of your basic hello world. You build a service, you generate a local version of that service, and you start calling it from Silverlight. So definitely all of our scenarios are possible in Silverlight 2. But in Silverlight 3, we focused on addressing kind of key customer feedback areas where customers have said, you know, hey, I have to write a lot of code to get this scenario done. You know, why don't you do this out of the box for me?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the issue with .NET, because the .NET framework on the standard Windows client machine is fairly large because it's doing all of that stuff for you.
Yep.
In the compact version of it, we're trying to make sure we identify where people are actually spending their time and where can we assist them in doing stuff better. And so Silverlight 3 is going to be fine-tuning that aspect and making sure that we're spending our time adding services to allow people to do stuff they're really doing on a regular basis. And so you're saying WCF is one of those things people are actually using an awful lot in mm-hmm. Silverlight 2, and so we're making it that much easier in Silverlight 3.
Yep.
Now, at Mix, we had a session that talked about some of the capabilities of WCF in Silverlight 3. Mm-hmm. What exactly did that session cover?
Yeah, so that was another PM on my team, Eugene Osovetsky, did that session. And we kind of tried to focus around 6 major areas where we've added value in Silverlight 3. And I'm not going to cover all of them, but just kind of the main ones. We've thought about performance, because a lot of these XML-based messages that we exchange on the wire, sometimes they can get large. So we've addressed performance by adding a new binary encoding that lets us kind of get better performance in the service and smaller messages on the wire. So,
and the aspect there is that even though the Silverlight developer isn't having to think about calling out and grabbing XML data mm-hmm. under the covers, we're still doing that because that's the way web services are talking quite often. And this binary encoder is basically allowing the server and client to do drop down to binary rather than doing regular text?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it does. And that's the beauty of WCF, is that basically switching on the binary encoder is almost just a configuration change, and the developer doesn't even need to know. The programming experience is exactly the same. You still worry about your types and your operations. You don't necessarily worry about what's happening, and we're just turning it on for you and giving you better performance. Mm-hmm. So binary was the first thing we added. Another thing is we have an object model in Silverlight 2 that lets you do a push type programming model in Silverlight. So for example, if you have a service that needs to notify the client that something has happened, for example, a stock ticker or like an email server, you basically want to send a notification to the client when there's an email waiting, but you don't want the client to just sit there and pull repeatedly. So we have something called the polling duplex, which is I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but it gives you this push object model as a developer and lets you kind of receive and listen for events from the service. So that's something that was kind of tricky to do in Silverlight 2. In Silverlight 3, we made it drastically easier, and maybe later we can see a demo of exactly how easy it is. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a second area where we've invested our time. A third area is support for improved debugging. In Silverlight 2, if something went wrong with your service, like some unexpected exception was thrown inside of an exception you didn't expect, we didn't have an easy way to get that information back to you, back to the Silverlight developer. Like, you basically see the same transparent error all the time, and you wouldn't know what's happening. So in Silverlight 3, we've invested in some features that will allow you to make your service more debuggable. So these are kind of the big three.
And how difficult is it for a Silverlight 2 developer to make use of some of these new features in Silverlight 3?
It's very easy, because actually we know that a lot of our Silverlight 2 developers are already trying to find workarounds and do these same things that we're delivering in Silverlight 3. So it's just building on the same WCF model. People will feel completely at home. And a lot of these features, I should mention, are a lot of the new features we're bringing into Silverlight are familiar WCF features that any WCF developer would have access to in .NET right now.
And that's the benefit, I think, of having .NET in Silverlight, because it's basically progressing that same development model into this cross-platform, cross-browser tool
exactly. That
we're providing. Now, you've got a machine here. Are you ready to show us a demo of how some of the stuff works?
Yep. So we have the duplex feature that I mentioned above, the server push. And so we have a scenario where I'm a Formula One fan, so I wanted to build a Silverlight widget that would tell me real-time race data. I wanted to see which driver is in which checkpoint on a racetrack.
As opposed to simply just watching it on TV, right?
Yeah, well, that's no fun, right? You have to keep yourself entertained. So this is what I built, and the interesting part of this scenario is that you could see something like you mentioned earlier, traffic, right? Traffic is something that maybe you get updates on a regular schedule, and so maybe you could just pull from your client and just keep pulling at a regular interval, and you get regular updates.
So like every 5 minutes, getting a traffic update is probably perfectly fine.
Exactly right, but with a race like this, you want real-time data, and the data is not necessarily happening at a fixed time interval. So, for example, the checkpoints on the racetrack might not be evenly spaced. So there's the need for this basically server-dictated timing. The server needs to say, well, you know, I'm gonna send an update in 5 seconds, and the next update, I don't know when it's gonna happen, maybe in 15 seconds or a minute. And that's where we really add value. With our duplex implementation, is that we're actually able to give you that kind of model without you having to worry about pulling or doing the timing. Mm-hmm. So I could just show you.
Sure.
So let me just start with just the UI. What I have here is, a racetrack image. So this is actually the race circuit, the Formula One race circuit in Monaco. And what you'll see is it basically has the turns numbered, and they, as the drivers progress, what we want to do is actually display a little dot with the driver's name next to the turn where the car is currently located. So the first thing we do is Silverlight developers will be familiar with this pattern. You have the Silverlight application here at the top, and then you have a web application, which is where the Silverlight application is hosted. Right, so this is the Silverlight controller, and inside of the web application, we have an HTML page where it's hosted. What I can do is I can add a WCF service to the web application. So this is what I've done here. This is what this class does. iRace data service. And so there's what we call service contracts, which are basically the sets of operations that the client sees that it can call on the service, and the set of operations the service can call on the client. And normally, you'd only be able to call operations on the service, right? Because it's request reply. So you'd make a request, and the service would give you some data back. But we're able to do the callback contract. So we're able to let the service call back the client using the new duplex protocol. So just to show you the specifics, right? So this is the iRace data service is kind of your service, and it has one method, which is subscribe to data. And you basically call that once from Silverlight, and you basically say, here's the list of driver names that I want to listen for updates for. You call the operation once. Now, here's the operation that the service will use to notify the client of new data. So it has only one method, update data, and it has a list of driver objects. And if you look at the driver object down here, basically a driver object contains the name, the checkpoint, and the color of the driver's car. So as a service gets new updates about the drivers on the track and their position, it'll just call this method, and the Silverlight client will be able to listen to that data.
So essentially what you're doing is just registering an event, like you do on the local system, whether it's, you know, mouse move or CD eject or your USB connect or something like that.
Button click is a very similar thing in Silverlight. So actually I could show you the client-side programming model. I'm not going to go into too much details, but one of the new things we've added in Silverlight 3 is a very, very easy way to set up this service. Before in Silverlight 2, you had to do some extra work to set up the duplex pattern on the service. Now it's very easy. It can just all be done through configuration, mm-hmm. which is something new since we've added since Mix. So let's look at the Silverlight side. So the way you normally consume services, WCF services, is you just right-click and you say add service reference. And so now you can do that for duplex services also. So on the screen here, you can just click discover, and it will find the service that's in our solution. Let's give it a name. And what this will do is it'll generate a local class, which looks a lot like that contract that I showed you with the subscribe to data method. So we can call it in Silverlight, and it's like we're calling the actual service. And I'll show you that right now. So let's go into, so this is our Silverlight application. And so I'm just going to maybe take 5 minutes and implement a duplex service. So the first thing we'll do is add a reference to we just generated, so we call it the proxy. That's the proxy for the service that's in the client. A using statement. I'm going to cheat and comment out the address here because I don't want to copy it down. So this is just the address of the service. It's living in the Visual Studio development environment, so it has a funny port number.
Mm-hmm. But or it would have been on some remote server someplace.
Yeah, so normally this would be a remote server, or it would be, you know, an IIS instance maybe running on the same machine. Currently, mm-hmm. we're just running it out of Visual Studio just for the sake of the demo. But, yeah, this is usually another box somewhere. Okay, so let's actually start implementing the code. So the first thing to do is to create this proxy, so we got to instantiate it. So we'll say race data service client proxy equals new race data service client. And that expects us to give it two things. First is the binding. So how does it talk to the service? We're going to say new polling duplex HTTP binding. The second thing it expects is the address, and we already entered the address above, so let's add that. Great. So now we've instantiated the proxy. Let's actually use it. So the first thing we'll do is we'll actually subscribe to the notifications. So I think it was called subscribe to data async. And so you'll notice this is kind of where the beauty of, you asked me earlier, why would you use WCF, right? We're using a strongly typed programming model. You know, you'll even notice, it has a notion of the driver type we declared in our service, and you're able to just talk to the service as though you're calling methods on a local object. And, you know, that's very different from your experience if you're sending raw HTTP requests. Mm-hmm. So let me actually just make one quick change here. This is using an observable collection, and I want it to be a list. So I'll just make a little change in the settings here to make sure that it's using lists instead of observable collection. So there you go. I have a list of driver names that I need to pass to the service. Great, so let's just add some of my favorite drivers. Great. So we've called the service and told it, you know, send us updates about these three drivers. Now we need to give a way to the service to call us back, to call back the client. And this is where that event handling model that you were talking about comes in. So we would say proxy, and then we have, you see, we have this update data received event. And that's very familiar to the method we defined in the service contract. There was an update data method, right? Which is, this is the method that the service was going to call to address the client. So if we just hook up to this event, we have our nice tab programming model where Visual Studio will actually generate for you this stub for the callback function. So this function is going to get called every time the service has new information that it wants to send to the client. So what we'll do here is we'll just take the information that the service sent us and draw it to that racetrack map that I showed in the beginning. So it's going to send us an array of drivers, so I'm going to do a loop. And so E is the response, and you'll see E has this driver data object, and if you look at the type of the driver data object, it's a list of driver. So I'm just going to go through that collection and do something for each one of the drivers. Great, so I actually have a function predefined that will draw it to the UI. So it's called drawCar, and it takes three things: the name of the driver, the color of his car, and which checkpoint it is from, I think, 1 to 14. And so here's my driver object, and you'll notice I have the three pieces that I need: the checkpoint, the color, and the name. And again, this is going back to the WCF model, right? You're dealing with properties, so you don't have to tease out the information you want from a blob of XML.
No parsing of XML?
No parsing of XML.
Where's the fun in that?
Exactly. So I'm going to just use IntelliSense, very easily get the information I want. And with that, I'm set. Let me build. Okay, and just run the demo.
Well, it looks like there's actually a race going on right now. Lucky
yep.
you.
There you go. Yeah, we lucked out. It's a multi-million dollar demo that I just did. So there you go. Basically, every second the service tells us the position of a driver, and if we actually kind of track one of the dots, you'll see that it doesn't jump around too much. I mean, they're kind of following a path. So I don't know who's going to win, but we could just leave it running and watch.
So Silverlight 3.0 is at a beta stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
When are we expecting it to actually be out available? When are people going to start actually developing applications for it?
Yeah, so Silverlight 3 beta is out, and we're working on basically finalizing Silverlight 3, and later in this year we'll probably have more information that we can share.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose if people came into the PDC, they might kind of find out some more information about Silverlight 3, maybe see some more sessions by you, showing another race and seeing who wins that race instead.
Exactly, yep. PDC will definitely have more Silverlight content there.
Okay. Now, do you mostly focus on Silverlight, or you're also focusing on WCF in general?
So, I'm a PM on a WCF team, so we're kind of juggling around multiple things. Silverlight has been my main priority so far, but right now I'm actually working on some other projects. My team actually also owns the Workflow Foundation, which is another piece of .NET, so there's a lot of work to go around.
Now, do you see a lot of people using WCF and, I suppose, Workflow Foundation in their applications, whether it's Silverlight or Windows?
Yeah, since we first introduced WCF and Silverlight, WCF and Workflow in .NET 3, in late 2006. And so since then, we've kind of seen a huge pickup in usage, both in Workflow and especially in WCF. We're seeing forum traffic increases, and we're getting a lot more questions from customers, how do I implement that scenario and this scenario. So WCF is catching on big time, and so is Workflow. We're making some very exciting changes in Workflow in the next version of .NET. So
Well, I'll have to have you back on the show again to talk about workflow then here pretty
Absolutely,
soon.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hopefully that gave you some good insights of what's coming for Silverlight 3, specifically in regards to WCF and how it can allow your applications not have to worry about polling for information constantly. You can find out more information about WCF and Silverlight 3 by looking at the MIX sessions, as well as coming to PDC, which is coming up in a few months. And in the description for this episode, I'll take and have some additional links you can go to for more information if you need it. Thanks for joining us.